to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on talk radio.
That's right, folks. You're not listening to Rush Limbaugh. You're not listening to any neocon apologist out there. No, this is not Michael Savage or of that ilk. We'd be rolling in the money if we were, but, folks, we don't sell out, ladies and gentlemen. We don't take on the corporate interest. We just don't do that around here, which is kind of strange. Morgan, this network is picked up probably by 150 stations. Of course, the FCC doesn't like it because these are all low-power FM stations. Because we have the tendency to cover all the range of subjects, things that are important, let's say, to the education or the re-education of America. And whether it be talking about the Zionist crew that has taken over, the project for a new American century, you know, this doesn't float well on mainstream radio. So we're not in there battling with station managers or whatever the case may be, because you're never going to hear Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity talking about the Federal Reserve and from people like you that were in the inside that see exactly how all this works. You're not going to have a voice to the millions of people that are being continually duped and misinformed and probably by omission, the truth by omission.
Yes, that's even more important than misstatements disinformation per se. It's just the silencio. They don't take up anything fundamental. It's just fun and games at a superficial level. For example, the D's versus the R's, that's mostly a sham, superficial bunch of nonsense. It's just right and left wings of the monopoly party.
Well, and it could not have been said better. It's the left-right paradigm. John in Minnesota, do you have anything for Mr. Reynolds?
Yes, most assuredly.
Yeah.
By the way, you'll notice that the Illuminati does not hold that green toilet paper. They are buying up this country on a fire sale. But anyhow, have you looked into the narco-ghetto economic system? That is a fantastic construct. It really is. It's just amazing. You bring the narcotics into the ghetto, get these people enslaved to narcotics. They make a ready supply of workers for your slave labor camps. Oh, it's a fantastic system, and you have the people absolutely under your thumb.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a tie-in here with a name I mentioned earlier, Peter Dale Scott, who's a retired Berkeley English professor and a former Canadian diplomat. One of his books is called Cocaine Politics.
Mm-hmm.
And he, among other things, and I'm not an expert on his views, but I think it's fair to say that part of the – look at Afghanistan, of course. Gee whiz, we take over the country and now drugs are back. Right?
Oh, yeah.
The opium supplier of the world. Well, part of that is, of course, CIA and intelligence service rake-offs, where they make money. Everybody likes more money than is budgeted, even though they've got billions in black budgets. But also, it's alleged that some of this is run through legitimate corporations to pad up the earnings. So, you know, it runs into Wall Street, too, its claim. Now, like I say, I'm a little bit talking loose here, but I think there's a lot to what you say, John.
Well, I've studied it, trying to help in that community, and it's, I'll tell you, it's an interesting phenomenon, and you have
really
to give them credit.
The rot is in the power groups is so extensive. You know, you reach the point where you just about believe anything bad.
All right, I'll tell you what. Hold on,
we
got to take this break. Thanks, John, in Minnesota. Paul in Florida, you're up next. 800-313-9443. Folks, I know you have some questions. Now is the time to ask. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, folks, we are back. Let's keep rolling with the calls here. Paul in Florida. Hello, Paul, you're on.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good.
Down here in 37-degree Fort Lauderdale this morning. But anyway,
that's okay. It's 76 and sunny up here in Central Texas. Eat your heart out.
You're warmer up there than we are here, believe it or not. But anyway, what I wanted to ask Dr. Reynolds was, I've always had this question in the front of my mind that I'd never gotten an answer to, and that both Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein were our friends back in the 70s and 80s, and now all of a sudden is a 180, and they're the bad boys of the world. Now, what happened? How did we go into a falling out with these two? Did we stab them in the back? Did they get too big for their britches? I still don't know what happened.
Well, the basic take is that you have to create your enemies. That's the U.S. government insider type process that you got to keep the whole game going, the whole giant military industrial complex, the whole strong muscle. So during the 80s, you had the Soviet Union. You didn't really need another big bogeyman, okay?
Yeah, and Osama was ahead of the Mujahideen, or else he
right.
got an element there.
Yeah, yeah.
We were sending him everything we get our hands on.
Right, and Brzezinski and these guys, well, let's give them a Vietnam. And it turned out to be the beginning of the end for the Soviet Union.
Right.
And then the big problem, actually, my less than honorable president Gates down there at Texas A&M was the DCI then, so he knows well that we got to cook up some other big menace, right? Or there's going to be a post-Cold War dividend.
Right.
There's going to be peace. If peace breaks out, that'll be a disaster.
You can't make money out of that, so what do you
can't make any money with these guys, you know, the KBRs, Halliburtons, et cetera.
You know.
That's not their deal.
Right.
So what is so lame is how they cooked up this clash of civilizations and Islam, you know, versus the Christian Bush. And all this stuff is so paper thin, fake. But at any rate, there's your basic explanation about why they took these lamos like Saddam and the OBL and build them up to these big villains, cartoon villains.
So what happened was that we turned on them.
Right. They'd outserved their usefulness in their prior role.
Okay. Now they turned around and said, we'll get even with you, USOB. So Osama gets Al-Qaeda to pull off this 9/11 thing? Or is that another scam?
It's not quite clear that whether they're cooperating kind of knowingly or unknowingly. It's probably... OBL is probably an unknowing, necessary villain there. He probably is... really thinks he's going to war with Bush and all this stuff. Although, of course, he disavowed any involvement in 9/11.
On Saddam's side, now Saddam says, I'll get even with you, USOB.
Well, Saddam is, I mean, he was post-Gulf War under Bush 1.
Yeah.
He was completely harmless.
I know, but still.
He wasn't even a menace to his immediate neighbors. The sanctions were just horrific. Remember Madeleine Albright's 500,000 infant deaths fine? Oh, yeah, that's fine.
You know what I suspect, too, is I think that before he went into Kuwait, he asked around and said, you think it'd be okay if I did that? And we said, why, sure, you go right ahead.
Right.
And in he goes, and then he gets his rear end kicked right out of there, and then some. And then he says, I'll get even with you, USOBs. What I'll do is I'm going to dump the dollar, and you're going to start paying for oil with euros. And then the next step is a gold-backed Arab dinar. Aha, I'll fix you.
Well, he's not that smart in truth, but he did make that move in the year 2000 about selling Iraqi oil for euros.
Yeah.
And that didn't make the powers that be here and in London very happy. So... that played into it, but Saddam is pretty clear. Just did that on a political. I'm gonna smote you a little bit. You know, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
This won't be that expensive. Well, it might have been the straw.
I think
but
that's
there
what it
are so
was.
Many motives that
oh,
go
sure.
into these things. It's not exclusive. For example, Ray McGovern, the ex-CIA analyst, puts it well. He says it's about OIL, oil, Israel, and logistics for global domination.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many motives and so many players in here, it just goes quite wide, and you really can't tell which one is key.
Yeah, now I heard Syria dumped the dollar as their reserve currency yesterday.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that
and,
wouldn't be very consequential, but Iran, it would be if they had this oil burst, because Iran's the fourth largest oil producer in the world, I believe, and they might even be the second biggest exporter. At any rate, they're in the top four in production and exports.
But I think this Syria thing is going to move up what's going to happen, I think, by a few weeks. I was watching Fox yesterday, and they're moving B-2 stealth bombers over there to Diego Garcia and who else knows where. And they're getting a move on over there, so I'd expect something to happen before April.
It's hard to tell day to day, but, you know, the worst scenario is Iran is just an intermediate attack target, because these guys are so far out that I believe there's some truth here that they lust for war with Russia and China. You know, I mean, that is...
Wait a minute. Let me back up here a second. Iran wants to go to war with China and Russia?
No. The United States,
okay.
The neocons.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
In order to draw them in?
When you look at Tehran... what is so amazing to me, although these guys are unhinged, you know, they're not in close touch with reality, but Iran is such, what is it, three times the land area of Iraq. We can't even control the airport from the green zone to the Baghdad airport. and it's mountainous. It's Persia has never been conquered, I don't think. And the point is, it's beyond our military capacity, except as a vaporization.
No.
How's that going to? But the thing is, from their point of view, this clash of civilizations, you know, the rogue superpower just willy-nilly attacking people that have no immediate prospect. You know, even if they were to enrich uranium, it's a 10 years off before they'd have a, I've seen what I think are credible statements by experts, 10 years till they'd have a nuclear weapon or two.
And what I said earlier, and thanks for your call, I appreciate it very much. And Paul, what I said here was, who cares from a national standpoint if you're the president of Iran and you've got a neighbor that has 400 nuclear weapons that can...
Yes, I agree with you there. And what business is it of ours? See, what you're doing, we are creating enemies wherever we go. You know, why should these other independent governments hut to when we just snap our fingers?
Well,
and what did we do when Pakistan and India got the bomb? Not a thing. There wasn't any issue.
But now
it is Iran. Actually, Kennedy, you know, John F. Kennedy, when he was president, he was in a head-butting contest with David Ben-Gurion of Israel about their drive to become a nuclear-armed power, because Kennedy and his circle didn't want the balance of power in the Middle East upset. So we're once LBJ got in, he was good with that. You know, give the Israelis whatever they want. Everything's fine. And now you can see this whole thing playing out to the fears of JFK.
Let's go back to the phones. John in the Cayman Islands. I envy you, John. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, well, I just had a observation, and I was wondering if I was the only one that observed it. In terms of mind control, whenever it appears that the interest rates inch up a little bit, it has a effect on, you know, the public, where they have to pay more attention to earning a living as opposed to events of the current day. I was wondering, is that a part of the policy where if they want to influence the perception of the public, they can with monetary policy? And I was wondering if you know, you noticed that, or is, you know, has that...
Yeah, how exactly does the scam run?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't. That's an interesting twist on it. It's part of manipulation of the public psyche, similar to the war on terror, right? They keep on playing the fear card.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it that way. I'd be pretty conventional in my analysis, and that is that. Remember, they had the interest rate, the target Fed funds rate that you're referring to, the one that they can manipulate directly, the Federal Reserve Board?
Yeah, they just had...
They had lowered it to 1%.
Right, right.
In trying to keep the party going, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just feed more booze to the drunk, right?
Right, right,
and,
right.
Now they were going to have to get it up to some more realistic so-called neutral. But the whole system is corrupt in that the only way they can do that is to regulate the flow of credit, the artificially created credit.
Right.
And in a real, honest system, credit would be derived from real savings.
Right.
People abstaining from consumption in favor of earning some interest. And the savings find their way into real investment.
Yes.
So what we've got is a system that is very distorted and misleading. Entrepreneurs, investors, savers are all being flim-flammed, okay? And it leads to recessions and depressions and financial crises. You know,
John, hang on a second. We've got to go to break. Morgan, hold that thought. And if you have any follow-up questions for my guest today, John, you can do that right after this break. Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, Maryland, and others, we'll get to you right after this.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard. The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
How I envy. I'm John, by the way. I'm very familiar with the Cayman Islands down there, and
yeah.
I envy you.
Yes.
7 Mile Beach, the main island.
Hurricane season,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, we had some of that last year, too, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Any follow-up from my guest today, John?
Yeah, getting back to that, they just increased, you know, the minimum on the amount of credit card payments, and that's going to keep the hamster
running
around the cage a little bit too.
Yeah.
So with a combination of, you know, the interest rates inching up a little bit, and you know, the payments with the credit cards, that absolutely has to have some effect on attention of you know, the public. So that's kind of where I'm.
Right. Yes. I see what you're saying, but I don't think that's at the heart of the matter. What's going on is that the banking system and the person of the Federal Reserve has to back off the throttle sometime, or you do, first of all, the rate of price inflation, the level of interest rates, ultimately, they can't control them truly, but they can kind of set the environment, and they have to back off, or you do warp into hyperinflation. So they feed this banking system, pumping credit, pumping, and then they back off at the rate of pumping when things start to come unglued, hoping for a soft landing and all that other terminology, right?
Yeah.
To keep the system intact. They abuse the system, and then they have to back off. So that's really more accurate in terms of what's going on rather than instilling fear. But I do agree with you that the hardship, especially in the bottom half of the household and income distribution here, is suffers in these downturns. Okay,
so yeah.
But it's a consequence of a very bad system, where what we'd want would be a non-inflationary value-based currency where they can't mess around with it. It would be outside of it would be separation of the economy, the money, and the state. Okay,
yeah.
Just the way
I'm
you
a
have
banker.
A supposed
a
separation between religion and
you,
state.
John, you are a banker, you said?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd really not say which one I work with.
I understand.
You know, that I understand
how
the system
works very well.
But you go
back, John, of course this is a subject close to my heart, but, you know, the whole reason the Federal Reserve was established in 1913 was to create an elastic currency.
Yeah.
Which, that was the language of the day, and what that meant was that banks could coordinate their expansion, okay,
mm-hmm.
with fake credit. Because
yeah.
when they couldn't do it before, because any bank that's too over the line, depositors and speculators would come in and make them pay up, okay?
Right.
So the system was constrained to real value, which was a very good thing. But now, of course, it's unconstrained. So you get these coordinated expansion.
Yeah, you get the boom, you
and
know,
then,
bus cycles.
There's so many distortions built in that they have to pull back and kind of wash out some of the unhealthy, although they try and save the GMs, the United Airlines, and all that.
Yeah. Well, that's what... reason I called, so I just wanted to...
How are you listening? By the way, how are you listening to the show down there?
Internet.
Okay, great. All right.
Internet.
Well, John, I appreciate you calling, and thank you so much.
All righty.
And maybe if we have a good year this year, maybe one of these years I can get back down to the Cayman Islands.
Right.
Yeah, I hope so.
Been my kind of place. Thanks, John. Appreciate your call. Jeff in Massachusetts. Hello, Jeff.
Yes. Now, as far as the Middle East is concerned... you know what irritates me is the left-right paradigm. In other words, right-wing is defined as Sean Hannity. Anything beyond Sean Hannity is not material. Left-wing is defined as people who are against the war. And anything beyond that is not material. And you have this left-right paradigm. And I'm just wondering, do you think that that's a psychops operation to keep the American people dumbed down and turn their brains into mush?
Well, yeah, I think it is in part, but the American public really has got nobody to blame but themselves. You know, Eric Hufschmidt, the 9/11 analyst from Painful Questions, as he points out, why do people buy or patronize these outlets that are just playing within the 40-yard line markers, right?
You're right.
Is that what you want, or do you want the truth?
I want the truth.
If you want the truth, then you got to play the whole field there.
Exactly. There's 100 yards.
Exactly.
Not just 80.
So, and especially if you're going to get anywhere, you got to play inside the 10, the enemy 10. So, yeah, so it's a combination of, but ultimately, who's to blame, right? We've got to put blame on individual Americans. One of my sons, I was explaining this flare-up of 9/11 agitation surrounding my article back in June, and he said at one point, "Dad, I just don't want to hear about it."
That's it?
Well, we got a lot of people who don't want to hear about it.
Well, it's going to smack them upside their head here real soon. I mean, the economic situation in this country is far beyond the pale of ER time here. It's a dying giant, ladies and gentlemen, and it didn't have to be this way. I want to talk more about this with my guest, Dr. Morgan Reynolds, after this. Thanks for your call, Jeff. We'll be right back, folks, with more of your phone calls.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
In America, we value our liberty. But there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This super government will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org. And keep America free.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
We were talking about Paul Craig Roberts before. He just came out. I think this is the article you're referring to, Forget Iran, Americans Should Be Hysterical About This. He writes that U.S. manufacturing lost 2.9 million jobs, almost 17% of the manufacturing workforce. He goes on to talk about this is amazing how the workforces have been devastated in this country. And the economists are looking beyond the political press releases, estimate that the U.S. unemployment rate may be as high as 8.5%, maybe even higher. In 5 years, the U.S. economy only created 70,000 jobs in architecture and engineering, many of which are clerical. Just absolutely, and Morgan, a couple of weeks ago, I was doing a piece on the job situation here in America, but more importantly, in the last 10 years, from 2005 going back to 1995, there has been 8,600 American companies sold and moved offshore. So we're gutting our manufacturing in this country. We're supposed to be a service industry, but we're moving all this cheap labor into the country. What do you think is really fueling this and the primary reasons behind this?
Well, there's lots going on, but here again, I go back to money. And one of the issues is that you've got, and this is even mainstream, where people talk about the Chinese yuan being undervalued, and you got these paper currencies that create distortions here, where, for example, the U.S. is set up to any nation who's got problems exporting, is they want to cheapen their money. It's kind of a short-run fix. And some people would argue our money is the dollar's too expensive. It went up last year about 15% against that was the index change against other major currencies. So that's trouble compared to many years ago when the world was basically on a gold standard of pressure, where basically all you had a one-world money, a one-money world, okay? So that's one of these complications. But here's food for thought. In Marion, Arkansas here, they're trying to attract an automobile plant, Toyota in particular. Of course, you have that new plant. I don't know if it's up and running in San Antonio. It's going to produce their big new pickup. But part of the problem with competing for these plants is not only do the executives, middle managers, et cetera, want to live in a place where the schools are good, but an industry like autos and so many of our surviving industries have to be high-tech with enormous productivity per man-hour because we are a high-wage country. And yet you go into these places, Marion, Arkansas, and you say, man, can I find people who can do this kind of computer-controlled machine? You've got to not only be literate, you've got to be smart. And that traces back again to the government schools are so bad. You know, just drink the Soma, you know.
Right.
We'll all share knowledge. You know, most of these teachers don't know their subjects, actually. They don't know science, math, English, and truth. They come from the dregs of the colleges, right, the education schools.
And Morgan, look what we built this country on. We had the majority of the populace that were schooled in one-room schoolhouses reading McGuffey readers.
Yeah, but you had to learn the material.
That's right. That's
and there's
exactly
nothing
right.
wrong with the work ethic, or even the morals of the vast bulk of our population. But as far as human capital, what economists call it, you need skills today. And a lot of the kids are aware of it in terms of computer literacy, software, and the like. But it's if you go into any field, for example, at the graduate school level, let's jump there. So many of the hard fields, the hard sciences, and even the intermediate fields like economics that require real application skill are foreign dominated. You know, what are our American kids studying? Well, they go to get an MBA. They go to law school. Some go to medical school. And that's pretty much it. Even the humanities are well populated by Americans, but that's the soft stuff. So you just see problems on just about any front.
Well, and the manufacturing sectors have more in common with a country undergoing saturation bombing during war than with a super economy that's supposedly the envy of the world. Communications equipment lost 43% of its workforce. Semiconductors and electronic components lost 37%. The workforce in computers and electronic products declined 30%. Electrical equipment and appliances lost 25% of its employees. The workforce in motor vehicles and parts declined 12%. Furniture and related products lost 17%.
Here's where, John, I would point out that we got to distinguish between production rates and employment. Now, it used to be that manufacturing employment, both durable and non-durable goods, were about 20 million. We'd fluctuate over the business cycle, but it was pretty much a steady average for many years. Now we've eroded down to below 14 million. I haven't looked at it lately, but it's probably 13-something million. It's usually about half durable goods, where you're talking about the goods that last more than 1 year, the hard goods. A lot of it's still non-durable, like manufacturing and food products, or newspapers and food products and the like. But any nation, including Japan or Europe, that is a high-wage nation, has got to, in effect, stay on the leading edge, aside from things that can necessarily, like many services, have to be produced locally. They've got to be high productivity, and the share of we can quarrel with whether GDP is really a good number, but the share of manufactured goods in production has held up much better than employment. Employment has eroded in manufacturing, no question about it. But like I say, if you're in Japan, you saw some of your low productivity manufacturing industries go to Korea at one stage. Now Korea is seen going to Vietnam, etc. There's a natural order here that in a competitive world where the U.S. has got to stay sharp. And that's actually, I would argue, and we're not in complete harmony on this one, serves the consumers well. Remember, the whole end of the game is high consumption levels.
Well, it's high consumption levels, and we have Wally World or Walmart, but where are the goods being produced? Now, what are we competing against? If you remember what the politicians told us about NAFTA, remember the term that they used? Well, we're going to level the playing field. That didn't mean that we're going to raise the standards in Mexico. That meant we're going to lower the standards here. Look, Morgan.
Well, I don't know. There were honest people on both sides of that debate. Mexico hasn't actually fared all that well since NAFTA. But most trade, now China's come on as a huge monster, and India's picking up the pace too now, but most trade historically, aside from natural resources, oil is the big number there, has been between high-income nations because they're the high-productivity nations. They've got a lot to trade. So now China is, to my way of thinking, it's all to the good. China has this enormous intelligent population that's getting a chance. Some are beginning to get rich, and this can happen pretty fast. Hong Kong went from a bunch of people living on junks, and some still do, but became really a high-income part of the world in only 30 years.
But as you have one nation come up, we have this one going down. We're running trade deficits.
Well, that's our fault, yeah. Our government's fault.
Sure.
That's not. Where would you rather do business, John? In a world where a lot of people are rich, or almost none? You want, rich buyers. I don't care if they're business enterprises looking to buy your goods for inputs or your services.
That would work well if the other models that we were competing against in the world markets were structured the same as ours.
This idea that we're there's a division of labor, and it keeps on evolving. Change it just can't be stopped. And hate to sound Clinton-esque, but it's not the enemy. The trouble with trying to stop this change is that you go the way of Britain. Britain became, especially because of their unions, but bad government policies as well, became an industrial museum, because they didn't adjust. Most firms, for example, that are large today, most of them didn't exist in 1920. I mean, firms die, firms are born, and most of that is benign. And many workers are aware of that. Young workers are not thinking they're going to strap it on with the same company for 40 years. They recognize that they're going to have to adjust, that there's no permanency to their employment.
We opened up a floodgate here, and I'd love to keep conversing on this one topic, but we've got many callers have been sitting here holding.
Okay, we'll renew it another day, John.
We will certainly do that. Joe in New York. Hello, Joe.
Hey, John, how are you tonight?
Good.
I just wanted to say, I stumbled across your radio station, I'll call it, and I got to say, it's the greatest thing that I've come across, because everywhere else I turn, I just bang my head against the wall, so I just want to say thank you.
Well, you're welcome, sir, and we're growing, and hopefully we're not growing fast enough, because more and more people need to hear this.
I totally agree, and, you know, I just see what's going on here locally and, you know, people struggling and everybody saying the economy's rosy and everything is all hunky-dory,
yeah.
You know, and used to have one person working, now you have two people working, sometimes you need a third working to carry a household. I see people getting 100% loans, 4,000 plus payments a month. It's getting out of hand. I mean, it's really getting insane, and I don't know how much longer this can go. But the reason I'm calling, I wanted to touch base with you on this Iran oil bourse that you guys have been talking about, whereas nobody else in the mainstream media or the newspapers, I don't know if the administration has got a hold on this story or what, but nobody's really talking about it. And, John, I was just wondering, since I haven't seen stories on it lately myself, is this an actuality in the sense that the projected date is still around March 20th, and do they have everything online?
According to Scott Ritter, he's gotten some inside information that the green light has been given for either mid to late March. And Morgan, this was the former Marine UN inspector.
Oh yeah, the inspector in Iraq.
He is claiming right now that this is a go for March. The date is a little fuzzy, but somewhere between mid and the end of March.
Well, I'm not pretty much talking about the attack, but I'm talking more about the oil burst. Is that ready to go in the sense that they have their banks lined up and they have their, I don't know if they're going to have a trading floor, how it's necessarily going to work. Do they actually have that set up ready to rock and roll?
That is...
Iran is the question.
Yeah, well, and I referenced going into Iran, and I'll tell you what, if they do that, we've already seen the indicators that what oil is going to be priced per barrel. And some people are predicting $250 or more per barrel for whatever reason. I don't know what percentage of oil we get out of Iran.
Yeah,
right,
I don't
now.
Know if the IOB is ready to go or not, but somebody's going to do it in the Middle East, some oil-producing nation at some point, defying the U.S. But what is really scary to me about this idea, if you look at the map, you see how big Iran is and the long coastline with the Gulf. And the Strait of Hormuz, if that's just, that's going to be shut down.
Right.
And that's a choke point, and you can't get any oil out of there.
Well, the funny thing, George Bush makes this statement. He's putting on a happy face, smirking George here. He puts on a happy face and said, we're going to be energy independent by 2045. Look, we've got in Anwar and Gull Island right now, I just had Nick Begich, and his father was Nick Begich Sr., the U.S. congressman that went down in Alaska under mysterious circumstances, but he's considering running for Alaska, governor of Alaska, and I hope that he does, because here's a guy that grew up in a territory before it became a state. He understands what riches that we have in the ground up there right now and the capacity to make us truly energy independent from the rest of this planet right now. Bush is talking about Anwar. Well, the wells are already drilled in Gull Island. All they have to do is start pumping the stuff out of the ground. We've got natural gas reserves up there, trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of cubic feet. We could be energy independent right now, and these reserves that I'm talking about, Morgan, are greater than what Iran has. So the game is continuing. In the meantime, we're watching this economy literally crumble, and you alluded to it. If we do this Iranian thing and the straits are shut down and everything else, we could see $250 a barrel price on oil, which is going to spell the death knell of this economy in this country. Would you disagree with that?
Well, death knell is, I never say death, but while there's life, there's hope. But it would be an incredible blow. It would be far bigger than the 1973 a crisis.
The phony embargo that we had. Yeah. Anything else, Joe?
One quick question, if I may. I don't mean to switch gears, but do you see any congressman in Washington right now ever come out and say, hey, I took a physics class, and 9/11 was this big, the big conspiracy? Do you ever see somebody will actually step up to the plate, or do you think they're all blackmailed and blackballed and everybody's scared and, nobody will ever talk about it?
Good question.
Yeah. Well, my reaction, of course, Ron Paul and Cynthia McKinney are viewed as closest to that, but neither has gone there. They've been doing this limited hangout for so long. I don't see it happening until you get some new people in the Congress. I really don't. They want to be there at the table thinking they're powerful and important. They want to bring their own people along. They don't want to get out in front of the parade too far and all these unprincipled calculations they're making.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it, and we'll talk another time.
Okay, sir. Yeah, I've been. I gave a speech one time with Ron Paul, and I talked to him and his wife and his office manager, let's call her. And I said, Ron, you're wasting your time in Washington, D.C. You know that most of these people up here are laughing up their sleeve at you. And I'm not saying that Ron Paul is a fool, because he is not.
Oh, no.
He's a very, very bright guy. And I asked him, I said, have you ever considered running for presidency? Well, gosh.
Well, he did as a libertarian.
Yeah, but I said to him, I said, look, why don't you run for governor of Texas? I mean, you're down here.
Yeah, that would be a much better office. Yes, I agree.
It would be. I mean, we've got Judge Roy Moore here that's I guess, going after the Louisiana governorship. We've got Nick Begich Jr. that's thinking about running in Alaska. I see the key to a lot of the problems we see emanating out of Washington, D.C. Of course,
I agree with you completely. It lies in the state. Although Elliot Spitzer is not going to do it, he's apparently a shoe-in for governor in New York State, it would be divine that the New York State Attorney General or even the DA, Morgenthau, in Manhattan would bring a grand jury on 9/11. Because the Congress is hopeless. The Congress should impeach Bush-Cheney for their lying their way into Iraq. So they won't even go there, much less raised in the 9/11 crimes.
I couldn't agree with you more. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm going to make this as quick as possible. Back in the 70s, Milton Friedman said that the gold that was used for the interbank settlements was stored under the streets of New York. Later it came out. It was under the World Trade Center. Has anyone ever said what happened to that?
This came up. My answer, short answer, is I don't know.
Okay.
But the Dylan Avery, there was an ad John gave for an event coming up there in Austin, I believe. But Dylan Avery, the Loose Change second edition, toward
right.
the end, raises that whole issue. What happened to the gold under these buildings, right?
Right.
Who spirited this away?
And how?
the whole business about the put options is well known on American and
right.
UAL, et cetera. But,
yeah, but nobody ever claimed that.
This requires further investigation because many central banks don't have any free and clear gold anymore. They've rented it out or sold it off, et cetera. These paper monies are so separated from gold and silver now.
There were many conveniences to that, like the WorldCom investigation papers that are conveniently gone.
Oh, yeah,
After they tripped the charges in Building 7.
Yes, right. Oh, man, IRS,
Secret
Service, SEC, et cetera, destroyed in Building 7.
What a great bank heist, huh? Pretty dramatic bank heist.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, that's all I had.
Thank you.
I think that deserves more investigation. I've got to learn more about it. It came to my attention with Loose Change.
It occurs to me that if we stopped the world right now and we got off and took a look at this and started going after the criminals and the people with vested interest that have been in this criminal cabal, I call it, in Washington, D.C., and into New York, and the Wall Street puppets, and the banks, and the whole nine yards. We could spend 50 years wading through this and straightening things out. But the way this is going right now, this is like a Chinese fire drill. I mean, what emergency pops up next? What other distraction pops up next?
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing. This country.
I think this year, for example, Mr. Bernanke's crisis management skills will be tested. So,
how is this man, Alan Greenspan? You know, the one thing that I think Alan Greenspan will probably live on forever is his statement about irrational exuberance. And that's exactly what Bernanke is getting ready to do. It's going to be an irrational exuberance with money supply.
He's supposed to testify for 2 days beginning tomorrow. He'll try and establish his tight money credentials, which is going to be quite a feat.
I would take the common American housewife that knows how to balance a checkbook, and I'd much rather see her to be the head of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
John in New York. Hello, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Just touching a couple bases. You're talking about, like, the euro. Gee, they've been fighting to get the euro in, and it's been getting kicked down, so they're playing some games back and forth with the good guy, bad guy, and is it going to win or not win? And bottom line, they're going to come up to where it's all the chip anyhow, and you all go by the bank numbers because it's all from the same place. I don't know if you heard about Bill Gates is dumping the dollar and going to the euro, and yet, as I understand it, since 99, Microsoft is 87% owned by the U.S. government. And also, you had, as far as that congressman testifying, back in the first week of 2004 of April, I believe it was the 7th or 8th, it was a Thursday, Congressman Rutherberger of California got up, and he was testifying that he and Julie Sears, out of a CIA agent out of Afghanistan, went to the Northern Alliance, found out that the 9/11 attack was taking place. We were actually warned by the Afghanistanis, and they called Catalina Rice, and she refused to respond. And that was public. And that same day, they announced the budget passing of the $4.5 billion Medicaid bill, in which they said it was a fraud, and they were saying it was kings with no clothes and all that kind of stuff, referring to it. And yet it was falsely passed, and they told how it was, you know, coerced and everything else, and the threats and everything else that went on. And, you know, it's like everybody just keeps putting up with these false truths. And the false truth, it's like another thing.
Here's the problem, John. It's the same problem we have with the Congress critters in Washington, D.C. They don't know what to do about the problem. They're ducking and walking and trying to hide it, stuff it in the closet, and it's spilling out in the hallways of Congress. They don't know what to do.
What's happening right now is we're going to the final ends of the WTO. That 500 million population, they're putting up the false front of, oh, we want to go to war with China or Russia or whatever else. But when it gets said and done, they're putting us all up to kill each other alongside of the avian flu and whatever else. And the big boys are in control watching us all take place, and we're all just kind of marching to their tune.
Well, at this point in time, we don't have an option. We're marching to the tune of the Federal Reserve because they're the thugs that operate for the International Monetary Fund here in America. So until we start breaking these bonds, and I've said this before, Morgan, that we should fire up the printing presses. We should order the Treasury to print money. Call them United States notes. Call them whatever you want to. We can print up our own funny money and retire the debt that we owe the Federal Reserve right now. I mean, who's going to argue? Well, you're repaying the loans. You're doing it with a currency. You know, it wouldn't be any worse.
I wouldn't favor that, although unless we had a. By the way, that is where ultimately the debts this enormous do end up, is that it's a default. Whether it's papered over or not, it's a default. You can't repay in real terms. But
yeah.
I'd rather that the America be protected with a real money.
I understand. And you and all the listeners to this network heartily concur with you.
Thank you for your time. We
will be in touch, sir. And we'll have to get you down here for a meeting here.
Okay, you've got a willing speaker.
All right.
Participant, yes.
Dr. Morgan Reynolds, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate
thank you,
it,
John.
Sir. All righty, sir. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Joan Vion will be with us to give us some updates on what the globalists are up to of late. We bid you farewell. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.